Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Welcome to Unsolicited Advice. I'm Ashley.
I'm Taryn.
And we're here to, normally I would say give you guys lots of advice, but we're doing something different today.
I need you all to sit down.
Maybe sit. Prepare yourselves.
Down.
Something very exciting is happening.
We warned you something was coming.
It's here.
It's here. I'm having a hard time speaking. I'm having a hard time breathing because today we have a freaking guest.
A very special guest.
And
dear to our hearts.
He's so dear to my heart. Uh-huh. I'm convinced that after this, we're going to be best friends and maybe make it Instagram official.
He's going to invite us to dinner parties and we'll just be family friends, you know?
I can't. I might have screamed when his Zoom thing popped up and that is embarrassing, but I'm moving past it. Mm-hmm. We have a freaking guest today. We're so excited. Also, we recorded this on Zoom, so head to our YouTube channel if you want to watch the interview as well. Mm-hmm. But do we just say it? Like, I don't know
freaking
what to do.
Bob freaking Saget was our guest and we had the best conversation with him. We talked about all things, just like acting from shows he's been on to comedy, stand up, also just quarantine and
to just real
where
life
we're at right now. And it was a great conversation. We also shared a very funny Tearing It Up with him.
Yes.
And it was great. So.
So freaking enjoy this episode. I keep saying freaking because I'm freaking excited. Bob Saget.
Well, freaking Bob Saget.
Oh my God, I can't believe it.
I don't know what to call you.
Do Bob. I call you
Mr. Saget?
Like that feels wrong. Like your honor, sir.
No, I'm not worthy. Just Bob.
It feels so weird.
I know, but I'm just a dude. I'm just a guy. I never really thought of separation of show business and body of work and being a human being. So I never really looked at it that way. I'm just not an ageist. I can talk to I have a dear friend that's 98 and I have a couple younger friends that I worked with, that I keep in contact with. But for the most part, everybody's in their 20s, 30s, 40s in my life, you know.
Yeah.
50s, 60s, cool. 90s, death. You know,
yeah,
I talk to them too. I need advice.
Yeah. There you go.
Is it weird that we like knowing that we grew up with you on our television?
No, I've accepted it. And I think most people that you talk to, I grew up watching you is a thing that people say. And I've said it to people. Yeah. I mean, I was a Star Trek fan when I met William Shatner for the first time.
Oh
I was
gosh.
Like, when I met Tom Petty, I was at Gary Shandling's house and he was friends with Tom and I just went up to Tom and I said, he took his glasses down. He went, I know, man. I know. And I was like,
I know. I get it.
That's how you approach it. You know, it's like being a person. So those are the people that are my favorite people that are successful, that aren't celebrities, that are people and they do different kinds of work that you admire and they inspire you and stuff.
No,
how do you guys
amazing.
Get started with this? I want to hear about you guys. So what started this podcast? How did you guys meet? Yada, yada, yada.
So Ash has like always been a huge fan of podcasts. I'm a total like new into this world, but she kind of met up with me and was like, hey, like I want to start a podcast. You like to talk, which I do. So then I was like, yeah, sure, let's do it. And it kind of just, we love people. We find people interesting and how we're all so different, but all can relate on just like the weirdness that comes with being human. So we kind of then settled on this, like, let's just have people send in stuff and we'll talk about it and give, two strange girls will give you advice on how to live your life. And which, where else would you get advice?
Well, idea that we had in our head was like, we're on YouTube and we do videos and stuff like that, but we love podcasting. I listen to it constantly, but I was like, how can I do a podcast where I don't have to constantly create some kind of content in my head? Cause that's just so much more work on top of everything. And then both of us were like, wait, they'll submit the content and we won't have to think. We'll just read it and talk about it. And it was just like a win-win from there. And then we've been best friends for years. So it just kind of worked out that way.
How old were you when you guys met?
Oh, 24? Somewhere in there, yeah. Where I'm 33, she's 30, and then we met like about 7-ish years ago.
Right. Two of my daughters are 33 and 31. How long you been doing this podcast?
A year and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. I haven't been doing it. I did it started right before quarantine, a couple weeks before, because I wanted to do it in my heart because of I was out touring and I saw what the world was like and I couldn't take it. People were yelling at each other in the audience. So it was already, the fuse was already lit for a lot of racial, political, everything horrible that we're living and that we want to go away and have people communicate and have justice and honesty. And I was out doing what I wanted to do, but it was like offending people. And then I was going to do a special around now, but this podcast is something I want to do forever. I mean, it's like I could be directing a movie, I could be on a TV show, and I could do it. I mean, we've got the board now. So,
that's all you need.
It's your best friend.
It's your best friend.
And there's got to be such a freedom for you to actually just be able to sit and be creative and just kind of like go with, you know, whatever concept you're coming up with, like on the spot. Instead of having someone, I don't know, like compared to TV and stuff, like having a director or a producer tell you exactly everything that you need to do.
Well, I mean, you've been around for a while. In stand-up, I've been around for a while. But with stand-up, no one tells me what to do. You know, that's why stand-ups are stand-ups. You do it. Well, they say don't do that piece. Do you want to do that piece? And then sometimes I'll say right before I'm shooting, last special I shot, 0 to 60 a few years ago, I said, I'm going to be cleaner this show. This is going to be a cleaner show. And I got off stage and the producer said to me, that was cleaner? I don't know what happened. There were people there. It just changed. And I don't do it for shock value. I get a temperature of the room. I know what I find funny, which is like what a 12-year-old would find funny. Yeah.
Well, okay. So we talked about Full House a little bit. I was definitely like huge fan. Mm-hmm. And I remember the only other person on the cast I've seen was Kimmy Gibbler when I was little.
Who's a sweetheart.
Yes. And I was still young enough to where I didn't understand that they're not those people in real life as on TV. And so my mom told me the story. She said I leaned over and was like, Mom, but I can't smell her feet. And then she was like, oh, honey. Because, you know, Kimmy always had the stinky feet. And so I said that. Yeah. And she turned around and looked at me and obviously was like, you're cute. And wrong, but it's fine. But that's my only other interaction. So when we got the email saying you were coming on, we both were like, did you read? I'm confused. Is this happening? We were so excited.
Well, and Taryn. Oh,
that's so nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
Taryn has seen.
Oh, I have seen you before. Do I look familiar? Let me, all angles.
Where have we seen each other before?
Well, by scene, that's a loose term. I can't remember where, but I went to this like club bar thing one time. And I remember we passed each other and I freaked out, but that was the end of the story. So
I would love to say, oh, I remember that.
Oh, of course. If you ever remember going somewhere with a girl on a dance floor that you were like, she's either on drugs or something's wrong with her, but she looks sober, that would be me.
That's wonderful. That's great.
I have no chill on a dance floor, so if
you,
that
you
ever
should have that
out
in your bio on your IMDb. That should
1,000%.
I should. I'm gonna change
that. Or make it your profile. I'm the girl on the dance floor that freaks out when she sees someone that she likes,
but is sober.
TV or film.
That's the twist.
Looks drunk, but is super sober.
You don't
sober.
Know where she's at. She's just that weird. That's
yeah, people
the twist.
Think I'm stoned all the time. Every time, actually. You know, it's just interesting that people, because I talk to stone people really well. I mean, I just, because I'm there already. It's like you're saying. I'm there. It's like, I'm fine. I like stone people. They laugh.
Yeah.
My podcast, one of the guys I called, he was so excited to talk to me. He just started smoking. And he laughed the whole time. And he was talking about losing a family, or one of his family members that had COVID. But he kept laughing because he was stoned and it was, I couldn't stop talking to him. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
Was
like, the position that puts you in, it's like, we're laughing about this?
I'm trying to read your cues, man.
Optimistic guy.
Yeah. That's so true. That's amazing.
Yeah, these are rough days. So what you're doing and what I'm trying to do is bringing solace to people. They get to have a conversation with their friends, and that's who you are to them, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, one of our biggest responses we always get is like, oh, we feel like we're there with you and you're like our big sisters. And that's always meant so much to us. Cause when we started this, we're both the type of people, like you were kind of talking about earlier, like we don't have different personalities. Like what you get from me here is what you're going to get from me if I meet you or at my other job. Like, it's just, we wanted it to feel super fluid and genuine. So raw, when we get that response really and the fact that it's like, it's just an escape. Cause a lot of these people, especially younger people, are like not able to go to school and interact with people. So the fact that they feel like it's an escape is such a cool thing.
Well, to answer your question from before, I have become, and I've talked about it a lot, more Danny Tanner than I ever thought I'd be in my whole life.
Really?
Well, it's been quarantine. So I've been cleaning and I've been doing stuff and I've been dust busting and the stuff that I was made fun of for being the clean freak on Full House, which was based basically on Felix Unger, who was in The Odd Couple, Felix and Oscar.
Oh, okay.
It was based on that neurotic character that the great Neil Simon wrote.
Oh, interesting.
And so, I mean, it was just a derivative thing. And the show was originally Three Men and a Baby. That's how that movie had come out. And then it became this other thing. And then it became this show where every character was serviced. Every character, you would have a Michelle show, you would have every show was a Michelle show because she was so, they were amazing. They were amazing, really. Yeah. Some kids called it the Michelle show. And then, but every character, you'd have a DJ, of course, episode, and Stephanie would drive a car through the kitchen, and Danny took his ring off when he accepted that he'd lost his wife.
Yeah.
But they deal with some of those issues was kind of good. Because I would hear, like you guys hear from people, and they say, hey, you're really helping me. You know, you're like a friend, you're like a big sister or whatever.
Yeah.
With me, it would be like, I lost my mom, and your show, my dad and I watched, and that particular episode. And I hear from people that are in their 50s that tell me that.
Yeah.
It makes me 110, but it's really, you know, things that I would, when I was like 33 doing the show, and I wasn't understanding the importance of doing a family show, and that it's as valid as doing shows that I looked up to more. You know, we were on against Seinfeld for a while, and it was like, boy, I wish I was on Seinfeld, you know. But and then Comet got a movie, Comet the dog became Air Bud.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that
he was Air Bud, he was twins, kind of. And Stamos was mad because the dog got a movie and he didn't, But I appreciate that show now more than ever. And the response from the world proved it to me how valid it was. And I just tried to be as good as I could as a parent on it. That was kind of what I tried to do.
So I always find this so interesting. Obviously, I feel like on the inside, I totally could have been a great actress. You know, I never pursued it, but
you could still do it. You're young. You could do it.
You know, I always, like, I'll have a day where I'm like, should I be an opera singer? And then I'm like, Taryn, like, there's some stuff that needs to happen before that. But
should I be a superhero?
Should I fly? Let's go try it. Yeah. But it's always interesting.
By the way, kids listening, don't try that. Don't try
I'm sorry. Thank you. Disclaimer. Yeah, we're not there yet. We don't know.
Exactly.
But it's so interesting because, you know, you get hired for a job. You obviously are excited about the project you're doing. And I know for seasons and TV, it's like, you're kind of like, okay, like, let's hope we get picked up for season two and stuff like that. Right. When did you know, like, holy crap, like, this is huge. Like, this is not, I mean, did you ever know? 4 years.
It took 4 years because we were not doing well. And we were on Tuesday nights, and we were on against Seinfeld at the same time. And they weren't doing well.
Okay.
And the network, both networks had, I think they were smarter then. I think it was more of a time of, you know, it wasn't the cable. You didn't have the menu that could be every show on the earth you could watch whenever you want.
Oh, my God.
Streaming. There was no streaming. There was no cell phone. Yeah. You know, I mean, it was a curly cord and a box in your car. You know. And back when I was a boy. But but Full House was on Tuesday nights. Didn't get a number, but the network loved it. And the network stood behind it because their kids loved it. And Seinfeld really found itself. And that's when they found their sweet spot on Thursday nights and became obviously one of the best shows ever made. Mm-hmm. And we became what I think in reflection is one of the best family shows ever made for kids, for kids to watch with their parents. I mean, there were a bunch of them. But then we moved to Friday nights, and that was TGIF. So they ran us twice a week, ABC, for a while. So I think 1 year we got picked up for 2 years straight, and then that's when we knew. They moved us to Friday nights. We became the 8 o'clock, the flagship Staple. Show of that night, and that became, and that was Bob Iger, who's the, you know, he's the head of the whole play of all of Disney. He's Walt Disney, basically. Yeah. And it was Ted Harbert at the network, and those two gentlemen did it. And we, by the fourth year, it was like, wow, we're in the top 10, you know, we were in the top 10 a lot. That's when you know. But we didn't know it. We really fought, and we didn't know sometimes if we were going to come back. After the first 3 years were like, we didn't know what was going to happen. I was used to not being on anything. So it was interesting to be a 30-year-old guy with a 10-year-old daughter on the show.
Yeah,
I was like, wait a second. So I was a randy 21-year-old.
Yeah.
Danny Tanner might have been a clean freak, but he had it going.
But he had his days. Do you respond if you hear Danny out in public? Like, is that something that like you would automatically turn your head to?
I have an automatic. Most people call me Bob because that's when you know you're known.
Yeah, when it's your name.
Yeah, with a mask they don't, but I'm not out that much anyway. Yeah. You know, but when they call me Danny, I'll go, oh, hi. And it's Bob, by the way. And people are cool about that. And they go, bye, Danny. And that's when you know they're trillennials or whatever is the next generation. Marsupials, I think, is next.
Yeah. We don't speak to them.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Jack Nicholson once said, being famous is like being the mayor, you know. And Jack Nicholson's a guy that I met years ago. And he was a person, obviously, this amazing actor, that... you know, would talk to people, and he was always himself, you know, and it was funny and charming unless someone was not.
Yeah.
And Rodney Dangerfield was a friend of mine. Most of the people that are the icons enjoyed when people would already know them, would feel like they knew them. That's the biggest compliment.
Well, too, like, I feel like just in conversations in general, like when you have this, like, thing that ties you, like, so like, I know I watched you were obviously on the show, you automatically feel like a connection that you can build a conversation on. So, you know, like I can hear someone from across the way say like, oh, I like Legos. And for me, I'm like, hi, best friend. Like, let's talk, you know, cause I do too.
Note, she loves Legos.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. If we were recording in my room, you would see my Lego display, but
what is the display? What shape is the, what's your biggest Lego conquest that you've accomplished?
The Millennium Falcon. She's beautiful. I did that. Yes.
When she says display, she has a full on bookshelf full of.
Yeah. Only my favorite sets. It was weird. I like randomly did it because I saw a Harry Potter one. And then like halfway through it, I was like, I'm in trouble because this is not a cheap hobby.
No.
Not a cheap hobby. And then,
it's like train it's just, sets.
Yeah. But Lego's official Instagram follows me, and that was the best moment of my life so far.
Yeah. So far.
I was on the toilet, and I cried hysterically. So it was a great time.
I always cry on the toilet.
You know, most of us do.
It's emotional. Letting go of things, you know?
It's releasing. Yes, it's very.
And never see them again. It's so upsetting.
Every time he just hovers over the handle. Oh,
I take a photo, but I don't post it.
She hates any bathroom talk, so she's like cringing and dying and thriving. I'm thriving.
A lot of people don't, so I apologize for that.
No, don't apologize. I'm used to it because she talks about it.
I need
it
an
all
ally because we got to normalize it for her. So I can't.
It is natural, but it's gross, and we don't want to talk about the gross stuff. But involuntary stuff. Involuntary, a burp or a fart, it can be funny when it's from like a grandparent. You know,
I agree.
If you're at the table and they can't help it,
they can't.
No, it's natural. It's just, and it's being human. And it's just, I always laughed at the table when my grandmother did it. and then it was the look in her face of how do you recoup after that?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Like, what does one say?
There is. Well, that's what's so funny. There is no recoup after that. It's done. It's
my
out.
My dad would own it. My dad, even, and he lived to 89. He should have lived longer. He was pretty miraculous. And he would just say, do you want me to die from the poison? I've got to get rid of the poison, Bob.
They got to get rid of the poison, Ash.
Right. Yeah, I so like that's, that one. That's science.
It's science.
I know. You know what, guys? I'm telling you, I've had friends give me the Everybody Poops book. I've had friends.
I like, hated for kids. That book.
Yeah. For, yeah. I got that like 3 years ago.
It's on my shelf.
Just kidding.
You got 3 years like, you ago. Need That's
to,
great.
Yeah, very recently. Someone was like, Ash, you have to get over this. And I kept telling them, I was like, it's not something I can get. I don't
it's
like
it.
It's
out of her control.
I don't like it.
Well, I have found, and I don't want to profile, and I don't want to say this, but most audiences I've been through in my whole life, everywhere I've done it, stand-up particularly, the ladies don't really love the poop humor. And then sometimes I'll ask the audience, and some there's always some lady that goes, hell yeah. And
you know, that would be me.
but not like this lady. This she oh, was yeah. off a she sounded like she came from a pirate ship. And oh, so yeah. that of course yeah. makes 7 minutes of entertainment for all.
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah. great You're content like, yes. for you.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's right, hilarious.
Right. Totally. I love our tangents already.
I
just want to throw it out there.
It's great.
These have been perfect.
Talk all day.
Yes.
Hello, everyone. It's Taryn
and Ashley
from Unsolicited Advice. And if you want to listen to our show without ads, you can now.
Just go to unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com or click the link in the episode description and you can get a 1 week preview of the ad-free version for free.
You'll get ad-free listening to the show. You can listen on almost any podcasting app and you'll be supporting our show too. That's unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com.
So I wanted to ask, so you guys just did Fuller House, which I watched. I loved it. Was it weird getting back into that role? Because what was the gap between
20 years?
It was a 20 years, yeah.
But we've done it a bunch on different shows. We did it on Jimmy Fallon, Dave, John, and myself. I think everybody was there. I can't remember because I'm so narcissistic, but it might have been the three of us. And then we did a bit on Colbert also.
Okay.
Because it's, you know, it's those kind of television iconic shows
yes.
are fun to do. And mm-hmm. and yeah. Jimmy Kimmel, I did it with Dave when that great actor that played Jaime Lannister in Game of Thrones, he was upset over something that happened. And in the show, I don't want to spoil alert it in case no one has seen Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
But he was missing a hand and it was yeah. quite, there was a lot of humor and he had relations with someone you didn't expect and yes. that's what he was upset about. It was a very funny sketch and we were consoling yeah. him and they put us in the wigs. I looked like a pumpkin with a mop. It was terrible. I was so miserable and they put me in the yeah. old sweater. It's like, don't put me in the sweater. Like, no, Bob, it'll be funnier.
Yeah. No, Bob, wear the sweater, Bob.
But 2 years in, I refuse to wear the sweater on the show. It doesn't matter. We want that first year look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, yeah.
Good
that's
for
true.
Me. Well,
that's hilarious.
Anyway, it was so. But no, we gone back. I walked onto the set at Warner Brothers, and it was the same stage we were at the last 4 years of the original
oh,
series.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow. Cool.
We were originally at MGM in Culver City, which is now Sony, but then we were at Warner Brothers on the same exact stage where Friends mm-hmm. was after we left. So they yeah. inherited our amazing dressing rooms because we were doing so well. And Tom Miller and Bob Boyette, may he rest in peace, the exec producers, they got us the best dressing rooms you could imagine on the stage, yeah. not in a trailer outside. And it was pretty wonderful. And those how nice we were all treated. And but when I walked back on the stage and they were just starting to build the set, so the set was there, I was like, this is just weird. This
yeah.
is, and I got very emotional about it.
I would think so.
And I knew it was going to do well. But I gave a note to the construction department through the producer, Jeff Franklin, the exec producer who created the show. And The note was when you walked up the stairs in the kitchen, because the house isn't even possible. It's like a 2,200 square foot house in San Francisco. Yeah. Yeah. The exterior.
Yeah. Yeah.
Inside, it's 8,000 square feet. So yeah. It's just not possible.
It's not, yeah.
But the stairs, when you went up the stairs in the living room, they put a wall too soon. So actors had nowhere to go. If they went up the stairs, they would be on camera. You'd see part of their body.
Yeah.
So they didn't realize that they needed to build a reservoir, and the same in the kitchen, those stairs ended, and the same in the basement. It just, you get to the bottom and you would have seen the heads of the people at the top.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I did, stair improvement is what I did.
There you go. Look at that's you. Very practical.
She does
it
all.
It's, you know, I direct stuff. I know when people have to have somewhere to go.
Yeah.
There used to be steps we could come down the other side, because if you keep actors waiting upstairs for a whole scene, bad stuff happens. They just they say terrible stuff. They stick their gum to the wall. We had a gum wall.
We had a gum wall.
That's amazing. No, it's so, it, like I said, like when you're not in that world, it's so interesting to hear like the specifics like that. You know, like no one thinks like, where do they go after they go up the stairs? Because the magic of TV and editing, like you're like, oh, they just go straight to the hallway. What are you talking about?
Yeah, all houses in San Fran are that big.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was, you know, when you see it, it is iconic for people, you know?
Right.
And Stamos has a lot of the stuff, like a lot. He's got the red doors. He has the doors. He has the front doors.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. That's cool.
That's fine.
All Did I you have keep is over there is I have the, I could go show it to you, but I'd have to unplug, so I don't want to do that.
No, you're
but
good. You're good.
I have the barometer that was next to the door. It's
about
big, you know, like, I don't know what it is, 4 feet tall. But it was a barometer that was from the Fuller House. I don't think it's the same one from Full House. I don't think they would have kept the barometer in storage. And the couch was a different couch, too. I think Stamos has the couch, too. I think he has everything.
Oh, my that's gosh. So that's cool. So cool.
I love that.
And then
he's got a lot of Disney stuff, too. He's a real collector. You think Legos are a big deal. He's got like Dumbo in his yard.
I can't compete with that. So I'll just
no,
go
it's
stare
hard
at my
to compete
Millennium
with
Bug.
Him. He's so annoying. I mean, I love him so much. And then he called me a couple weeks ago, maybe it was a month ago. I was like on a Friday night FaceTime. And I'm like, oh man, I look like hell. My quarantine hair was straight up like a rooster. I had a robe on. I hadn't shaved. I looked like, you know, I should be outside just roaming the streets. And he, at 11 o'clock at night, he's in a black shirt. He looks perfect. I think he just moisturized. You know, I don't know. And I'm like, what the hell's wrong with you? He said, I wanted to see you. I said, why do you look so good? Were you filming something? No, I'm just hanging out. I said, what are you, a mannequin? You get dressed up at night?
That's
he's such a good guy. He's just, you know, your brother. So is Dave. We're brothers, you know.
That's so cool.
We love that.
Yeah, because you do hear of people who on cast, like even like romantic partners that hate each other in real life and have to like really put on a face for the show. And I'm sure that adds so much more complication to providing like what is needed for a scene. So that's so cool that you guys have that genuine relationship. That's really cool.
All of us do. All of us. I'm close literally with everybody. I'm friends with everyone. When I'm in New York, I try to see Mary-Kate and Ashley separately. If together, that'd be amazing. But it's just, I can't be in New York. It's like I got two daughters there. It's like we're all excited when this time will pass. We want to live our lives and we want to be in the moment. And the kids that are going back to school, we want them to, they need to be with kids.
Yeah.
We don't want to, but we don't want anybody to get sick. So that's really.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's quite a conundrum, but but we'll get through it. Some people think we won't, but that's, I'm not that doomsday, even though the world's on fire and there's horrific hurricanes and the disease.
Cherry on top to an already great year.
Yeah.
It's amazing. There's all kinds of. I'm sure killer bees or murder hornets or whatever.
Oh, when I heard that, I was like, that's it.
Take me now.
It's over.
They even showed like a 6-foot bat. There was a 6-foot one that looked like a person. And I'm like, but it's not called a bat. It's something else. And I'm like, I don't know what you do with that, but I don't want
to
see it.
I don't know what to do with that.
Give it to Carol Baskin in a hotel room. You know?
By the way, she was just on Dancing with the Stars. I don't know if you saw.
That's
I was
great.
Tripping out.
Thoughts on that?
I tweeted they should have that because OJ wasn't available. They had her. Yeah. She killed her husband.
I know. My mom's so cute. She goes, yeah, there's this weird lady who keeps acting like she's a cat. Like, I don't get who she is. And so she asked me to look to see if I knew. And I was like, what is happening right now? Like, why was she a choice for this? Like,
I don't understand. Possible
murder. Because we're talking about it.
That's true.
And we are in not a good time. I don't know what to believe. I honestly don't know what to believe.
No one does. It's so crazy. Yeah. Speaking of, that just reminded me of TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
You're on TikTok.
I saw your TikTok. And I like it. Howie Mandel said, get on there. It's fun. And my wife Kelly said, get on there, Bob. You'll have fun. You get to do some of your dumb stuff you like to do. And I got a lot of kid in me, so I like to do stuff like that. But then, of course, now I hear that the president's taking it down in 4 days or something. Yeah. You always hear
That's what I heard. And then they sued him.
And then another company is buying it. Oracle's buying it. So I don't know how he could insist to get taken. I don't believe that he ordered it to get. I don't know what. I like it. I think there are going to be a lot of pissed off people if they take it off, like a lot.
Yeah, it's such a huge source of entertainment now. And we were watching yours. Great lip syncing skills, by the way.
Prime time. You know,
it takes time. It takes time. I mean, the last one I did was with Dr. Phil because he was telling people, don't call
me
daddy.
That was so funny.
That was funny.
But it took like 45 minutes, which is, you know, and I got time. It's quarantine, but.
We all have time.
I don't know. If people think of you that way in a paternal way because maybe they didn't have a dad or they just didn't have a dad that treated them like the idealized two-dimensional version that I played on that show.
Yes.
And I played a lot of dads. The shows just didn't last, but they were great shows. There was one I did called Raising Dad, a sitcom, and it should have been on for 10 years. It was Jerry Adler from The Sopranos. He played Hesh, and my daughters were Kat Dennings and Brie Larson.
Okay.
Right. And Megan Good was on it, and it was written by Jonathan Katz, Dr. Katz, and now you might know it was an animated show. It used to be on Comedy Central, and Norman Steimer, great film screenwriter. So it was a really good show. We did 24 and it was popular in London. And then it was the WB. So before the CW. Yeah. So they didn't pick it up. But that show was probably one of the better family sitcoms I did.
Dang. Yeah, that's true.
Showbiz is beautiful. Drama. You guys don't even think about it. You get to talk to people. You just talk. Do you have a lot of people that are showbiz people or do you talk more to people that call that kind of thing?
So yeah, no, it literally... That's what's so cool is because we'll never run out of content because it's just like humans writing in. So we'll have like, you know, a guy who's dealing with a boss at work, or we'll have a girl who did something on a first date and she doesn't know how to recover, or we have people dealing with depression and eating disorders, or we have like embarrassing moments that get sent in. So it's literally like the range of people is unlimited, which is really cool.
Yeah. I think when it first started, we both wanted this to be more of like a lighthearted kind of not straight comedy, but more of a comedic feel about like just sharing stories of embarrassing moments and being able to like laugh at it, talk through it, and us give advice on like what we would do in that situation. And then I think the community really became really tight, kind of intimate. And now people are just being super vulnerable and sharing very serious stories that they're going through. And it wasn't what I think we were expecting right off the bat, but at the same time, we loved it. So
it was very organic.
We just kind of bob and flow with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If it comes in serious,
it's fine.
I'll have a conversation with someone that's more well known and then I'll call people and see how they're doing. And there's one coming out tomorrow, I think, and it's very emotional. It's like people are really hurting.
And
then you hear people that aren't. They're just, you know, getting through it or come up with like, I don't care. I don't wear a mask. You know, I go to Costco. Yeah. You know, it's like,
I go to Costco.
Okay. But
oh my gosh, did they do they probably don't do samples at Costco.
Nah.
So why do people even go to Costco?
I don't think a Hickory Farm store is open. You know Hickory Farm?
Yeah, I know.
You walk in, there's cheese and salami nut log rolls, and I don't think they're given any of that.
With the jam and crackers that everyone would just like help themselves to.
I hated the jam and crackers.
Or the chicken jalapeno taquitos. And they'd just be like chopped up, like
really tiny.
Yeah, everything's chopped up. So you know that person just chopped it up and they're paying them to hand it out with little crappy toothpicks.
Yep.
And crappy I would always go for the salami because, you know, that's a piece of salami. And that's what, you know, and or a piece of cheese. But if it's like a shrimp, it's like, oh, I'm going to get sick.
Yeah, how long was that sitting out there really?
Yeah,
exactly.
No one was watching you.
And where was it before then?
Yeah.
You can get sick from shrimp.
Uh-huh. Oh, totally. But my high school was right down the street from a Costco. And when we were seniors and, you know, allowed to leave the campus, which is just asking us to like do stupid stuff, we used to walk to the Costco and we would first go in and like get a round of samples. Then we would like tie our hair up different and like switch jackets and get like another round. Like it was just like a fun like scavenger hunt for us. Like, I got two smoothies.
It's an adventure, that store. I became, I didn't want to go, and I did because I was dating somebody, and I joined, and my membership just expired, and I'm so excited about it.
Congratulations.
Thank
you. They locked you in.
What a big moment for you.
With a big bulk shopping cart, and it's like, what? I just want to get the hot dogs with the skins on.
Yeah, that's all.
And then trash bags.
Yeah. The things you need in bulk, hot dogs and trash bags. That's it.
Naturally.
I mean, and actually, I didn't even eat them. I just threw them in the trash bags. So
there
you
go.
Great.
Yeah, it's just the circle of life, right?
It's the circle of life. Costco is the circle of life. But a lot of times when you're doing, this is a showbiz thing, but when you're fortunate enough to be in show business and they have like craft service and sometimes they would just do Costco stuff and you go, this sub sandwich that's 12 feet long is so good. Where'd you get it? They go, Costco. And I go, my God, they're the best chefs ever.
They've really mastered
the quality sub. Yeah.
I mean, back in the day, I wouldn't eat a hamburger from Kmart. You know, but here we are.
Yeah, that's probably why you're still alive, to be honest, that you have that standard.
I think I've really got quality control on my diet. Yeah. There was a store called Woolworths, which you maybe have seen in old movies and stuff. Okay. And it went bankrupt. But Woolworths had they had a notions department, which sold like thread and thimbles and needles, like rows of it, because people like to sew.
And okay.
You're right. So you can imagine the amount of money they were raking in. You know, just aisles of needles and, well, CVS has that, but it's different. But there was a snack bar in every Woolworths. Like people went there to eat. So the whole store smelled like grilled cheese.
And oh, wow. Ooh,
I'm okay with that.
I think Board of Health might have closed it down. In many ways, things are better. Once we get through this damn horrible thing and businesses can all come back. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be fun for so many people. That's going to feel good for so many people.
1,000%. I just miss people. I just miss like casual conversations waiting in the grocery line. Like people don't talk to me when I go grocery shopping. People avoid, you just avoid each other. So it's like, I miss that.
And people are arguing with each other in lines.
Yeah.
You know,
so
it's really a hostile time, and I don't function well. And so, I want something to look forward to. We all want to look forward to something.
Yeah.
And people are still going on vacations. They're just being very selective how they're doing it. There are safe ways to do it.
Yeah.
But money's down for a lot of people, so they can't
go.
Have you guys gone anywhere?
Right, we actually went to, we did a staycation. We went to Malibu and we got a house, like an Airbnb, and just stayed there for a few days. It wasn't, I feel like we've gone on, like, Taryn and I have been so blessed to go on some amazing trips in the past, so this was very different for us. But it was actually, I think, one of our favorite vacations. And then we also, a friend's birthday, we went up to Mammoth and got an Airbnb up there as well. And it was the same thing. Like, it was just us in the house. We were cooking, cleaning, playing games, like, just having a good time. And it felt like we were just living life there instead. And it was so refreshing to be somewhere else that wasn't home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, that was like the biggest thing.
That's the best takeaway from this whole thing. If you're not killing each other as a family that's in the same house, or, you know, dad, I hate you. Yeah, that's not something you want to hear, but you guys are besties. So yeah. When you're, and, but people that are together, you got to fight. I mean, there's no way that it's not going to happen. Cause who's going, where do you, well, I'm going out in the yard. Well, you can't, cause the air quality is terrible.
Yeah, they're so bad. We're stuck.
Well, then I'm going upstairs, and then people go, we don't have an upstairs, you know?
Yeah.
But it's I think it has brought people together more, and even Zoom and FaceTime has made people talk more. People that I haven't been in contact with, I'm like, oh, how are you? Do you wanna smoke a cigar or have? I have a thing with a bunch of gentlemen that I love, and Norman Lear, who just won an Emmy, at 98 years old. For live in front of a studio audience that he does All in the Family and the Jeffersons, and Jimmy Kimmel produces it with him on ABC, and he just won it. And I was with him for lunch that day, and he was just so giggly, and he was giggly. He was nominated. And then I called him, but we've all become. I've been doing it for like 5 years, where we do a Zoom. So there's like up to 12 of us, and.
Yeah.
Different people have participated. Stamos has, John Mayer has, but it's a lot of great musicians, Rick Braun and David Cause, and a lot of amazing musicians. And we get together and sing for hours. But
that's awesome.
That's so fun.
And we smoke cigars. We call it cigar night, but some people don't smoke cigars. But we lately have been doing Zooms for the past since March.
And Zoom has been the godsend to 2020.
It's really wonderful to connect with people with Zoom. You get to see your friends, your family.
Yeah.
And I don't think I wouldn't be contacting some of the people. And doing a podcast, you get to contact people.
Yeah. 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 No, it's so true. I think about, some of the people where I was talking to them more frequently when life was normal aren't necessarily the ones that I'm talking to frequently now because, other friends are stepping up more of being like, FaceTiming and talking.
Checking in on you.
It means so much. It's a different form of communication. And it's been interesting to see the people who you just kind of don't hear from, as frequent. And then now others that are like, hi, how are you really doing? Not just what are you up to? Because there's only so many ways you can answer that.
Well, did you see that movie? Let me look it up because it's quite amazing.
Oh, is it the new one that just came out?
Yeah, it's about quite great. It's on Netflix. Yeah, exactly. The Social Dilemma.
Yes. I'm a little scared to watch it, but I haven't watched it yet.
I was talking about it with friends yesterday, and they said it kind of changed their entire mentality on it. Obviously, they said it scared them, and they kind of wanted to delete everything. But at the same time, it's good to have a positive, like if you're being a positive influence, it's good to be out there. But just, I guess, being more aware and having your antennas out and just being very careful with what you allow yourself to digest. Because scrolling is just scrolling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you're seeing it, it's affecting you.
We try so hard to find this balance in our podcast, especially our heavier episodes, because obviously those are all part of life. You have to deal with the mess that comes with life, but also the good. And so we try to balance out, I end every episode with a dad joke because that's just my humor. And then we also have this segment called Tearing It Up because you don't know me well, but I am a very awkward person that bad things happen to that I always think someone's filming me because I'm this is not real life. And so I started sharing that part of me because I'm not ashamed of how embarrassing I am. And we had so many writers writing in, oh my gosh, that's happened to me, or here's an embarrassing moment. And so it ended up turning into its own segment called Tearing It Up. And that's, where people just say awkward, embarrassing things. So that's been fun to have that as kind of a cushion too.
Because
need to just laugh too. Cause it's
more than
so
ever.
Much heaviness. Yeah.
And if I've had so many embarrassing things, it's and I'm always the guy that steps in at the worst. I'm a fool. Yeah. I mean, it's like a joke. It's like, do you want to hear one of those stories?
I would love to.
Absolutely.
You're going to give us a tearing it up right now.
I'm going to give you a tearing it up. there was a friend of mine, and we were on vacation in Hawaii, and we went to the steam room together, and he was with his sons, and they're like sons to me, kind of like nephews that I love. Mm-hmm. And we're all in the steam room, and then we leave, and everybody's going to go do whatever they do, take a shower. And I thought I'd be a funny guy and attack him in the shower. He was taking a shower, and I got a towel and made it wet. I was going to flick him with the towel. And yeah. I opened the door, and I screamed, and I said, you know, put your hands in the air, mother blanker. Yeah. And I snapped the towel, and a man screams, and it wasn't my friend.
Shut up.
And then all of a sudden he comes walking by me and he's got a towel on. He's just putting on like cologne and he goes, I don't know what's wrong with you. I don't know how you do it. And then a little more time goes by and then I see him go into another part of the locker room and I figure I'll do it again to him.
No. Yeah, right, this time.
Right. And this time I try to scare him and throw like a razor with no blade on it at him, a plastic one.
Yeah.
And, okay.
And it's the same guy that I tortured in the shower.
Are you serious? No.
I did it twice. And then all of a sudden out of nowhere, my friend goes by and he goes, it's impossible. I don't know how you did it again. You just did it again. That's like one of the worst things I ever did.
My God.
I mean, it's just so lame. It's like, really be careful if you're going to prank somebody. Make sure it's the person.
It's the person.
Double check first before going in. Wow. But the commitment that you had.
Yeah. You were like, I'm going to get him.
Astounding.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's what you have to do, right?
Towel whips are not. Are no joke, especially if the towel's damp. Yeah. So that's, do we know what body part you contacted on the stranger?
His butt was facing me, so I did not. I did not snap a vital part of him.
Yeah, that's good.
I did
that's
not
good.
Ruin his chances for reproducing.
Right. That's you know the most important thing right there.
See, when I do weird stuff, I just walk away and they're like, what was wrong with that girl? Like, I don't have, you know, luckily, not yet, a face.
Mine anonymity. Turns out sometimes to be a tweet. Do you realize what you...
Oh, my gosh. Well, we're very excited because we had someone submit a funny story.
Oh,
and yes. We wanted to kind of give you a glimpse into what our podcast is kind of like and read it to you. And then, you know, since you're the funny guy, we thought you could commentate, you could just kind of sit there, enjoy it. Maybe we could give you a good laugh for a chance. That could be fun.
Please. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, so this is a tearing it up from an anonymous, a lot of our writers are anonymous, which totally get it. So we're just going to dive in.
Yep.
Hello, you two beautiful ladies. First of all, I am obsessed with both of you, and I am always blown away with how much I get out of every episode. I know. I'm so excited to see where both of you go, and I'm honored to have been here since day one. We love
a day
one. So nice. Yeah. So is that the question?
That's the question. That's it.
The end.
We actually are a podcast that we just ask people to write nice stuff to us, and then we take it straight to our heads.
We're
and
the
then
narcissists.
We leave. That's it. Okay. This story happened years ago when I was in sixth grade for some context. I would like to remain anonymous because not only do I know people who listen to your pod, I am also trying to make sure that this secret dies with me. Too many people and animals to apologize to. Oh, gosh. Okay. It was a summer evening full of promise. I had just spent a full day swimming with my bestie. We'll call her Mallory. You know those friendships where a side of you comes out with them that no one else sees, and how it gets even worse the later in the night when you reach new levels of being delirious and things that aren't funny are magically hilarious. Yeah, well, that's the level we were at on this fateful night. I feel like we have that.
We definitely have that.
Do you
that's
get that?
That's our relationship. You
know, yeah,
with certain
totally.
Friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a urine. You're in Cicapato. You even answered at the same time a couple times.
Yeah.
The same response.
There we go. Well, I think that's what you get when you're best friends. You live together. You have a podcast together and you work together.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
I don't know how we don't.
I don't know how we're here to be real honest.
We should be studied. Yeah. You know, like psychologists.
Yeah.
How did they do it? It's all me, but
okay. So here comes the dramatic part, right? There's something dramatic coming up in her thing.
It's happening. Don't worry. My parents were very, let's say, health conscious. So sugary drinks were a no-go growing up. However, Mallory's mom would always make this raspberry sugary nectar from the gods, and I would load up when I was at her house. Late that night, we were hanging out in Mallory's living room. Oh, wait, there was also one other person there. We will call her Lizzie, and Mallory's freaking hot brother, my forbidden crush, Garrett. There's always a guy there.
There's always a brother.
I was sitting on their brand new family couch. It was vintagey looking floral print and Mallory's mom's favorite possession at the time. We were making up dances and just messing around when all of a sudden Garrett, yes, hot, unreachable, love of my life, Garrett, tries to do the splits in the middle of our dance routine. And as he hit the floor, he straight up rips one, which we were
We were talking about.
Yes. Yeah, I'm psychic when it comes to butt sounds.
Yeah. Butts, you knew.
That's the best way I've ever heard it.
I knew.
I don't know what it is about farts, especially when you're in middle school. That is so funny. But needless to say, we all lost it. There is a level of laughter that you only hit a few times in your life. That gut-wrenching, tear-streaming, can't breathe, convulsing silently type of laughter. And let's just say I reached it. Within moments of my lover's wind breaking, I felt it happening. My innocent sugar-free bladder was now filled to the brim with sweet, sweet raspberry juice of the gods starting to combust. I can't, she writes
juice
so well.
Juice of the gods is hilarious.
I wanted to run to the bathroom, but I knew any movement was cause an explosion. So I sat on that pretty couch and prayed that if God would let me out of this, I would confess to my mom I drank a sugary beverage. But my prayers were not answered, and without warning, it happened. I sat there in my own warmth and could feel my puddle spreading through every floral fiber beneath me.
Floral fiber. Oh.
But it's a floral print. I mean, it might not show.
It might not show.
It might not. It depends on how light of a color, I guess.
Yes. Okay. So I sat there trying to think of a way to get out of this. Then a brilliant plan came into my head. I stood up for a couple seconds, then sat in the same spot I had just been sitting on for like 10 minutes and shot up and screamed. When they asked what happened, I dramatically said, "Oh my God, I think Archie peed on the couch." You might be asking yourself, who the hell is Archie? Archie was Mallory's 8-year-old German shepherd.
Right.
Who blamed the dog.
Who, no. By the way, had not entered the living room in hours.
No.
So I acted fully disgusted and was asked to show them. I turned around, showed them my fully soaked khaki covered backside.
Khaki.
Oh, God.
This is the worst part. All this commotion caused Mallory's dad to come in to see what was going on, to which I again explained, Archie peed on the couch and I sat in it. Mallory's dad then proceeded to pick up the couch cushion, hold it to his face, and take a sniff.
No.
A piece of me died at that very moment. He then says, "Yeah, it smells like pee," and everyone starts cracking up. Mallory let me borrow a pair of pants and underwear, and I still to this day don't know if they fully believed me that it was the dog. I've kept the secret all this time and was never able to look poor Archie in the eyes after that day. Thank you for being weirdos who helped me embrace my most shameful moments in life. Love, Anonymous.
Oh my God, Anonymous.
Well, I think, and that's amazing. She's a very good writer.
She's a very good writer.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine, too, just, like, watching that happen and being like, no, don't smell.
No, just, like, terrified.
I would have run. Why didn't she just run to the bathroom? That's the thing.
I guess it depends. Like, it depends on the house. Was there a bathroom close by? Like, that would have been a cool detail to hear.
That would have been a good one, too.
But if it's a floral couch, I think there's a bathroom nearby.
Yeah. That's a good point.
But it sounds like it's also there's a carpeting on the floor if he's doing a leg split. That's not a hardwood floor.
Yeah, that's definitely not a tile situation.
Right.
Yeah, I love that. That's a detail I wouldn't have made the connection.
Yeah, I'm like a private, I'm like SVU when it comes to this.
You're like, I'm going to break this down. I'm going to tell you where you went wrong.
You start with a fart and then you work your way into her chain reaction.
Yes.
I just hate cutting to the image of the father sniffing the pillow. That's
the part I was like, no,
this is mortifying.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being on here with us. This has been.
I loved it. You guys so are cool. So sweet and so delightful and so easy to talk to. And I hope I didn't talk too much. I do that also.
Not at all.
Nah. It was perfect. This is great. I haven't told my family yet that this is happening, because I just want to like get a screenshot and just send it with no context and then be like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Well, just send them my best. Tell them I'd love to come over to their house and do the splits and let one out. And
oh my gosh.
And then they could all just ruin the floral couch.
Every family gathering. That's what we do.
All of the furniture in my house has a floral pattern.
Oh, it is. Oh, it is.
Many bathrooms, many floral couches. Yes.
Well, stay safe, stay healthy. Thank you so much for being on the podcast with us.
I loved it. Thank you.
Would you like to shout out just your podcast where people can kind of keep track of what you're up to nowadays?
Yes, it's done. It's produced by the same wonderful people that do your Studio 71.
Yes, I know. And, same family.
They're great people, and it's called Bob Saget's Here for You. It's weird to say my name in a title. What am I going to do? Yeah. And it's on, I release one. Oops. When I do the splits, I release one. Mondays and Thursdays it comes out.
Mondays and Thursdays, okay.
And it's everywhere. You know, it's on, you know, where you get your podcasts. It's literally everywhere.
It's wherever and you get your podcast.
I don't think they want you to say one giant company and then another giant company at the same time.
Yeah.
But it's on all the giant companies at the same time.
Yeah, all the things. You can find us. We're there.
Right. And it's. I'm just trying to help people through the same thing you're doing. I'm there to listen and hopefully make people laugh and give them a little refuge. And then sometimes it gets serious. I mean, if I'm having certain people on, certain guests, it's going to be serious. You know, it's going to go there. I had D.L. Hughley on and Bill Maher and Lawrence O'Donnell. So that gets into heavier areas, and then I'll have on, you know, Bill Burr or John Mayer or, you know, just different friends, and it'll be a totally different kind of thing. That's what I love about it. Also, it's always a different, completely different. It's like we're chameleons depending on who you're talking to and what you're talking about. So I love it. I love it a lot. So thank you.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations on starting your podcast.
I know. Welcome to the podcast family.
Welcome to the podcast family.
You have a great voice for it, by the way.
There's only 5 million of us in it.
Yeah. Only 5 million. Yeah.
Especially since quarantine.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
It's like everyone has a podcast.
Yeah.
Well, stay well. And of course, vote 8 times because we're allowed to do that. And I've got 40 mailboxes in my backyard.
40.
Yeah. I took
I got to get on that.
And just be safe and hope everybody's okay and in your lives and everything. Thank you.
Thank you. You too.
I can't believe you spent every moment together. I can't believe
it. I know. It's a lot.
There's times where I'm like, I need five minutes. Like, I'm going to watch a movie in my room. I just need a second.
Also, to like paint a picture for you, we live in a house and our rooms are directly across the hall from each other. So if we need them, it's very much like, I'm going to go take a moment.
But I can hear everything she's doing.
Yeah, that's why the podcast is so good. Because you guys are like,
probably
it's not just you're showing up to do the podcast. You got nowhere to go.
Yeah. All our
we
desperation.
Need people to talk to. Actually, this podcast has kept us sane.
Seriously. Like
we keep saying it's for everyone else, but it's really for us. Seriously. They're helping us through everything.
Same
here. Great. Yeah.
Same with me. Yeah. It does as much, hopefully, for the listeners as it does for the people that love doing it, like us.
Yeah. So. Oh my gosh, agreed. Yeah.
Well, continued happiness and safety and onward and upward.
Thank you,
sir. I don't know what that means. I don't know. I don't know what that means.
I support it.
I feel like a superhero.
I don't know. Who was that? Who would say that? I don't
Bob
know.
Saget just like takes off soaring through the air.
Right.
Like Superman. We
Neutron.
Just watch him on
what
the screen,
his,
just like.
What
Jimmy
was his
Neutron?
Name? Jimmy Neutron?
Is it the cartoon?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy
Neutron.
My
friend Neutron. Steve Odekirk made it. Maybe that's what I should say is onward and upward and literally, like you're saying, just fly out of
just
frame.
Just like shoot out of frame.
Yeah, just fly away.
I love that.
That's your new sign off.
You should do
that's
that
my new
for,
sign
your
off
next,
I fly.
For your next thing.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Bye.